Number 7 sort of speaks for itself. This is what Tolstoy said. People find happiness only in serving their neighbour, and they find it here because rendering service to their neighbour, they are in common with the divine spirit that lives within them. So do you remember I'm talking to you about experiential portals to this deeper part of you? I'm not asking you to go off and become a recluse, although sometimes that can help. I'm trying to give you everyday examples of where you have portals through to this deeper part of yourself so that you can experience it, you can experience what it means to be who you really are, not just your ego. I'm going to read it again. Tolstoy said, "People find happiness only in serving their neighbour, and they find it here because rendering service to their neighbour, they are in communion with the divine spirit that lives within them." So, 1 to 5, I could volunteer, go now. There's no point, all this theory, there's absolutely no point unless you go and put it into practice. Because it's only through putting it into practice that you start to experiment with what this stuff's about. So, just write one down if you can't write 5. I could pick up a bit of litter later on this afternoon and put it in the bin, thereby depriving somebody of a job and feeling awfully guilty, I know. I like this, and I kind of think that's true. Do some of you think that's true? Those of you who have rendered service to your neighbour, that you've actually found both the deeper part of you and the deeper part of them. What's the point of all this? What was it that Paul was talking about? That your love will increase with knowledge and depth of insight. Well, the point is for the benefit of everybody else, surely. Okay, I want to give you another portal, and this is number 8. Mike Mikhai. Csikszentmihalyi, don't try and write it, but if you do a search for a book in Google called Flow, and you get one written by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. Anybody read Flow? Come across Flow? Good book. I'm boiling down the whole of Flow. I've talked about formal practice. Maybe coming to stillness is a formal practice through to this deeper part of you. There's an informal practice. There's an informal example of this that happens to all of us, and it's what he wrote that book about, and this is a real psychological. Think of an example of something that you do, could be like a sport or a hobby, where the task is challenging, but it suits the skill level. So imagine that you start playing squash or tennis, you play against somebody who's absolutely fantastic, not a lot of fun there. Somebody who's slightly better than you, that's great, that takes you forward. Somebody who's not as good as you, no challenge. Or that maybe you do... you're a potter or you do knitting or whatever, you know, what's the next thing that's going to just be pushing you very slightly forward? What this task is, it requires concentration. Another thing about this task is that there are clear goals. It's easy to measure your progress through this. So like tennis, knitting, whatever, all of these different things have clear goals, and that you also get immediate feedback. So as you try and balance on the thing that you're trying to balance, or as you're surfing, or you know, whatever it is that is your flow activity, is your work like this, perhaps? Be great if it was, wouldn't it? You get deep, effortless involvement. You have a sense of control. That's quite important. And what happens is that this whole ego thing, this sense of self, vanishes and time stops. If you can write down an activity that you do that you can tick as many of those as possible, then do that activity more and more. Because what you'll be storing up is what I call emotional capital. A pleasure, when we're down and we feel like cheering ourselves up, what we normally turn to is something that gives us pleasure, not really happiness. The bar of chocolate, chocolate ice cream... That gives you pleasure. It doesn't give you happiness. What happens in the brain is that the neurons that fire when you eat chocolate, it takes them 30-odd seconds to reset themselves before you can experience that pleasure again, which is why the first few bites of something are really pleasurable. But anyway, whatever it is that for you is pleasurable in that moment, but it doesn't do you any good at any other time. It's lost its effect. Flow activities store up what's called emotional capital, which you have to spend at other times. They don't necessarily put a massive smile on your face. That day that the weather came in and you were stuck halfway up the mountain and everything didn't go according to plan, but you were so absolutely fulfilling each of the things on this list, that's made you different for the rest of your life, hasn't it? Those of you who are in that situation, or whatever yours was. What happens dangerously? I was talking yesterday about teenagers and how teenage is the time when the ego becomes absolutely set in concrete. It's a dangerous time because you're aware that there is this thinker inside your head and you start to believe you are it. So you come home from school. If you were to turn everything off, there's what's called entropy. There's what's called chaos in the head. It's uncontrolled, blah, 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 bang, 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 all over the place. If, as a teenager, if, as somebody who knows a teenager, you can introduce a flow activity in at that age, you'll be doing one of the most wonderful things you can, because you'll be storing up the ability for this person to start to control their own thinking. That chaos, I am terrible, I am negative, I am all those things that come in at that age. What do you do to get rid of those, that incessant nonsense that's there in the head? You may still have it now. You have to do something to still it. And maybe you haven't got the maturity to know that you can actually sit with it and come to a deeper peace, perhaps. Like we know we can, perhaps. Hopefully you do. Hopefully you can let that chatter go on because you know you are not it. Well, you turn on the TV because it dulls that. I'm lonely. I've got nobody or whatever. You turn the TV on because at least it's an anesthetic to the entropy, the chaos that's there in the head. Flow activities are the antidote to this. Don't watch the TV. Soap operas have a slightly depressing effect on their viewers. That's a fact, folks. I talked about these four things earlier on, and I talked about self-understanding and self-knowledge. It was the second one, self-observation, rather. And this is what number nine is about. Are you angry, depressed, happy, sad, whatever? Or are you able to observe that that is happening within you? Are you really cheesed off at the person because they did such and such? Are you feeling guilty about the thought that you just had? Is there a big kind of chaos thing going on? So what do you normally try and do with that? You might suppress the thought, you might battle the thought. Being the observer of your own thinking process or your own emotional process is one of the hallmarks of a growing awareness. It's one of the things that you find in almost every school. Anthony de Mello has a distinction between the I and the me. It takes a while to get your head around this. The I is the observer. The me is the one who thinks it is the thing. A brilliant guy, I can't remember his name, wrote a book called The Inner Game of Tennis in the 60s. This is a book that describes the same thing, but it uses a different analogy. Are you the two people playing tennis so that when a ball is called out, there's a sort of a narrow call? Well, for player A, it's brilliant, isn't it? That's great news because they've scored a point. They're not going to make too much of a complaint, but for player B, that's the end of the world. Okay. Sometimes when you are captured by your thinking process, that's all you are. You are these two tennis players. But there's a third person on this court. There's the umpire. The impartial, I don't get drawn into this, I observe. So the four things that are hallmarks of observing yourself is that you don't label. You don't label yourself. You don't judge yourself. You don't measure and you don't criticize. The opposite of love is, what takes away from love is criticism. What can build love in terms of interpersonal relations is praise. Criticism drags it down, but also it happens within yourself. So if you think you are being the observer of yourself and you are labeling and you are judging, you've become one of the players. And this takes a while to get this, but you'll find there's moments when you're able to do this. Okay, we're going to have a bit of an interactive moment now for number 10. This has been two very introspective sessions in a way. It's all been about you, but that's not why I do what I do. It's all about them out there. It's about the people that you work with. So a really good way to hang... It can be quite difficult to head into a difficult meeting. It's useful to have a little idea to hang your new way of being when you go into situations. For example, the person in front of you is your teacher. It's a very little a very useful little idea that you can use to bring yourself into the present. You know, the person in front of you, you will give your full attention to. I will listen to properly. Can you give me any examples? We can go out with a positive little suggestion. The person in front of you is, that might help us with this whole way of being. Any favourites that anybody else has? They never do. It doesn't work, this part of my session. The reason I'm talking about this is that if I treat you not like the irrational, argumentative, irritating, lovely, over-talkative, introvert, extrovert person that you are, if I don't treat you like that, and I actually treat you like you are a person who has limitless love, wisdom, happiness within you, what happens to you if I treat you that way? Have you been treated that way by somebody else who doesn't see you as the person who committed the crime or the annoying or the, you know, whatever? They treated you like this deeper part. Do you feel like, hold on a minute, I feel like I am that deeper part. I can feel it because they're treating me this way. Jamie Oliver does this. Did you see his series 15? There's a Jesuit priest in America who started a boys' school, and he did it with them. He didn't see them like this. The reverse is how we often work. The person in front of us is, we have likes about them, dislikes about them, ideas and opinions about the person in front of us. They become our idea of them quite often. This is why I was saying yesterday, if you have a big change to make, keep it a secret. So the person in front of you have no ideas, no likes, no dislikes, no opinions about the person in front of you, including somebody that you've known all your life. Lose all of those things because they aren't those things. Somebody met you a year ago, and at the time you're in a bad mood. Well, you're labelled as that person in a bad mood. You're not that anymore. Surely not. So try this out. Try seeing the person in front of you as this true, whole, lovely light. Maybe I could say, see Jesus in them. That's, to me, what this means. It's a way of describing that same thing. Don't try and change somebody else. Free them up to become who it is that they really are. So the person in front of you is your teacher, the person in front of you is those things. I would like to finish with a song. No, I wouldn't. Mother Teresa didn't write this, for people that have heard this before. These are called the paradoxical commandments. I would like you, at the end of this session, to come back to what stillness is for you. So find yourself in a position, hopefully with a straight back, put everything down. That's a deep statement, put everything down. Okay, everything in here, put it down. I'd like you to come to stillness. Whether your anchor for coming into the present moment, coming into stillness, is your breathing, maybe it's your hearing, bring yourself into the present. And these are, and I'll give you a reference for this afterwards for those of you who are interested. People are illogical, unreasonable and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favour underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building up may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Bruce is going to suggest you take one of his leaflets at the end of the session. You may think about not. Take a leaflet anyway. Sorry about that. Okay, those who are interested, I can't take it all so seriously, honestly, we're po-faced. Those are The Paradoxical Commandments by Dr. Kent M. Keith. I am a life coach, ladies and gentlemen. There are leaflets over there. I have various websites, Embody Interactive, Read Jesus, and the latest is On Earth As in Heaven. I'm in print. I have products. Sets of cards. These are in the bookshop. They're selling so fantastically, there's hardly any left, so rush over there now. These are not necessarily for you, but they're kind of a packaging and a tarting up of some of the stuff that I've been talking about. Experiential suggestions, not theories, suggestions that people can do to actually put into practice. There's one that's themed around angels, and there's one that's themed about nature. So buy them for yourself, buy them for somebody else. Thank you so much for coming. My ego has been well and truly boosted by... by your being here. Thank you very much.